Good morning. A very warm welcome to Wesley Methodist Church this morning. I'm delighted that you could all come and be part of worship today. We especially welcome our visitors. You're very welcome. We're lovely to have you, and please join us after the service for morning tea, which will be through those doors, and follow the other people through to the new hall. This service this morning has about 8 or 9 video clips that I want to show you. And I'm not following the lectionary readings. The theme that I've got is looking at Bell Rock, God's Enduring Love. We're learning from a 200-year-old Scottish civil engineering project. I'll just leave that at that for now. As an introduction to the theme today, I wonder who can tell me what is significant about the date the 10th of April 1968. The Waiheke disaster, perfect. Excellent. The inter-island ferry Waiheke, which sailed between Wellington and Lyttelton, was wrecked on Barrett's Reef in the entrance to Wellington Harbour that day. And the event affected many New Zealanders at the time. The grandparents of a friend at intermediate school survived the wreck. A neighbour in Northland owned a boat and helped rescue people from the Waiheke. A previous minister here was a nurse at the time and helped care for a boy injured in the wreck. I sailed on the Waiheke the previous December 1967 as a 7-year-old. I wonder, do any of you have memories of that day? Oh. It really scary, yeah. What happened was that Cyclone Giselle came down from the north and it met a depression, and Wellington copped it. Wellington was in the middle, and that's terrible weather that day. Thank you. Could we see the slide of Bell Rock location? Bell Rock is a lump of rock 12 miles off the east coast of Scotland, and ships have been wrecked on there for hundreds of years. The rock is submerged and invisible to ships, except for maybe 2 or 3 hours a day at high tide. Let's see the video clip, Heather.
Miles off the east coast of Scotland, lurking under the waves, lies a treacherous sunken reef.
Turn it up a little, Alan, please.
Over the centuries, it claimed thousands of lives as ships were torn apart by its jagged rocks. Known as the Bell Rock, its very name instilled terror.
Could I ask the children to come forward now? There's something I'd like you to help me with. And if we could have a couple of honorary children to help, that would be great too.
Come up here. So, take a seat. So we've seen that a rock like that, and there are dangerous rocks like that all around the world, ships can't see them, and so they run into them. Wonder what we might be able to do to help the sailors. What might we be able to build that's going to give them a warning? Can you think? Anyone else help us? What might be the answer? A lighthouse. Do you think that would work? Do you know what that is? It's a tower with a light on it, and it shines the light, and the ships can see from kilometres and kilometres away that there's a danger there, and so they sail around it. And so that's why lighthouses get built. Now, if there's a civil engineer in the house, that would be helpful as well. Maybe another. I've got a little task for you. What I've got here are some blocks. What I'd like you to help me do is to build a tower. So we're going to pretend that that's a lighthouse. And what I'd like you to do is to build it maybe about that high. We've only got to give you 4 or 5 minutes to do it. So if anybody else wants to come and help, three people would be good. Just see how high we can get that tower, because that's going to be our lighthouse. And then at the end, we're going to put the light on it. Okay, so Alan's going to come and help us, that's good. Yep. The thing is to get it quite tall so it can be seen from a way away. You do, yes. Ah, good. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What about these big ones? Is it possible to have them standing up, I wonder? How could you support that? A problem, isn't it? Don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Making progress. These are blocks that came from Kelburn Play Centre, and I think they're imperial measurements. I think the new ones are metric, and they don't fit together. So we've got the resource sitting at home. So, well, that's promising. Even if maybe we just built up like this from now on. Like that. All right, can we build some?
Want to try another?
Yeah.
One of those, I don't know if it's
going to
work, but give us a
high. Yep. So can we do that? I don't know. Well, that will be on the top of whatever we do. So it might be better just to build like that, maybe. Yeah, maybe an arch at the top. That's good. Yep, put that on. That one goes there. Yep. There's more. We could put more of these this way too, I think. Put them in the middle. Are we getting there? Yay. How about that? And if we're clever, we'll have the torch shining through the arch. What do you think? Put the arch over the front. Will that work? It's not bad. Let's stand back and have a look. So what do you think? Fantastic. Yay. Thank you very much for helping. You go back to your seat now.
Now time for our first Bible reading, which is from Luke, the two foundations.
Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I'll show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood arose, the river burst against that house, but could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house.
So Bell Rock was causing ships to get wrecked and sailors' lives to be lost. And a young Scottish engineer, Robert Stevenson, wanted to build a lighthouse. But it was 12 miles out to sea. You could only work on it for 2 or 3 hours a day at low tide. You could only work on it for 2 or 3 months in the summer because the weather and seas are too rough at other times of the year. It was very expensive. and nobody had built anything this difficult before. Let's see Stevenson making a proposal to the lighthouse board.
Stevenson is a junior engineer with the Northern Lighthouse Board. At 30, he has done well for himself. He grew up in poverty and is largely self-taught.
Stevenson.
A strong religious conviction drives his ambition to build his own lighthouse.
Sit down, Mr. Stevenson.
His superiors have reluctantly agreed to look at his design, even though they don't believe a lighthouse could possibly stand on the Belt Rock.
Well, proceed.
From the situation and circumstances attending the Belt Rock, we may suppose that this dangerous sunken reef is the direct or contributory cause, in many cases, of shipwreck upon the eastern coast. I therefore lay before you proposals for a lighthouse built in stone, the construction of which will withstand all that nature can cast against
it. And how do you propose this stone tower of yours in the middle of the sea? It is my understanding that the tides do not allow very much time on the surface of the rock to carry out building operations.
That is indeed true.
You would have access only for a few hours each day, is that not correct?
Yes, indeed.
And in bad weather, no access at all.
It can be done.
No one has built a lighthouse in the open sea exposed to its full force on a rock that is submerged for the better part of the day.
The board remains unconvinced. His proposal is radical.
And we have our next Bible reading from John chapter 3.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God.
Thank you, Philippa. We continue on with our story of Belt Rock. Making it happen. Courage, hard work, compromise. The British warship HMS York was wrecked on Belt Rock in 1804, and all 500 sailors were drowned. The board had to act. They consulted another engineer, John Rennie.
Until 1804. The huge 64-gun HMS York is wrecked. All 500 crew are lost. There are renewed demands for the Lighthouse Board to take action. To help, the board has invited the most eminent engineer of the day, John Rennie, even though he has never built a lighthouse.
Would you like to see the plan, Mr. Rennie?
I have seen Mr. Stevenson's plans, and they're sound enough, but the details require modification.
How much modification?
Mr. Stevenson is quite correct in proposing a stone tower along the lines of the Eddystone. But, for instance, his calculation regarding the curve to its base here is quite wrong. I shall be able to say more when I've inspected the rock, and should you so wish, possibly embark on the design myself, thus relieving you of the necessity of employing so junior an engineer.
In 1806, the board approved the project as proposed by Stevenson, but he had to be supervised by John Rennie. The design of the curve at the base of the tower was critical to enable the lighthouse to withstand the battering it would receive from the sea. Stevenson was forced to accept Rennie's design, for the base anyway. He swallowed his personal and professional pride and got on with the job. Work started in August 1807.
Mr. Glenner, are you a religious man?
I certainly am, sir.
Yeah, have you read the Bible? Do you read it regularly?
I certainly do, sir.
Would you mind putting your signature on the page, please, Mr. Glenner?
No, sir. Well, I've been told we'll be at the Rock for 12 weeks and to prepare for seasickness. Well, to a sailor like myself, accustomed to a year at sea, that promises little hardship. But mark my words, work on that rock will be dangerous, and it'll take a strong master to pull us through.
Stevenson enlists 60 men. On the 17th of August, 1807, the men prepare to set sail for the Rock. They will be away for 2 months.
We might say a farewell.
Now that we're all assembled, I'm only too aware of the responsibility I hold for the welfare of these men. I'm answerable to God and to their wives should any misfortune befall them.
Right, lads, let's have you on board now.
Did you notice Stevenson asking if the men were religious? By that he meant Christian. And did they read the Bible regularly? Have a think about why that might have been important. Stevenson and the men were away from shore on a boat anchored off the Bell Rock for 2 or 3 months at a stretch. This was hard on the men and their families. And progress was slow at the start.
Sharpening the tools on Dove's Forge is vital. There is no time to waste. In a few hours, the rock will sink beneath the waves.
Let us pray, men. Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put upon us the armour of light now in the time of this mortal life. Amen.
Amen.
To the boats.
For Stevenson, moral improvement and technological progress go hand in hand. Science dispels the dark superstitions and illuminates the wondrous workings of God.
To save time and money, they had to work on the Sabbath, on Sunday. Some refused at first.
One moment, gentlemen, if you will, I have something to say. As you will appreciate, our work here is regulated by the tides. Therefore, we must work every hour that the rock is exposed. For this reason, we must be prepared to work on the Sabbath. We're doing God's work. We're building a light that will save many lives. I have no doubt that God will bless our endeavours, even to the point of working on His day.
See you.
I'll not be working on the Sabbath, I can tell you that. here will be Mr. Stevenson.
It was dangerous work. Two men drowned. One suffered badly crushed legs, but became the first lighthouse keeper. So that they could work on the rock and not have to go backwards and forwards between the ship as often, they built a tower, a beacon house they called it, which meant the men could stay in there when it was high tide and overnight. But it took a terrible pounding from the North Sea storms.
But Stevenson's problems are far from over. The weather begins to worsen.
We were lucky to be spared. Thanks must go to Mr. Stevenson. Aye, and his hardy beacon.
The hardy beacon restores the men's faith in Stevenson. From now on, all agree to work on the Sabbath. The work continues smoothly. The curve to the base takes shape to Rennie's instruction.
Here we are. Lads have done well, Mr. Stevenson.
The lighthouse took 4 years to construct. Stevenson and the men were sustained by prayer and faith. The lighthouse was finished in 1810.
The day finally arrived. Stevenson and his men assembled on deck to see the 24 great lanterns lit for the first time. The lighthouse was finished.
And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the path, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light.
Finding the meaning, enduring love, Christ's light shines through us. Bell Rock Lighthouse has stood and kept ships safe for 200 years. It's now automated and doesn't have a lighthouse keeper. So a couple of current photos of the Heather. And one more. You see that curve to the base that was such an issue? And one more. And there's the lighthouse today. Here are some of my responses to the Bell Rock story. I find the story of how Robert Stevenson and his team built the Bell Rock Lighthouse inspiring and wanted to explore what we can learn from it today, 200 years later. Stevenson identified a need. He knew that hundreds of sailors had died in shipwrecks on Bell Rock, and that they would continue to die if nothing was done. The Lighthouse Board had done nothing for years. His response was motivated by a strong Christian faith and a desire to help others. Stevenson had a vision of how to respond. Using his professional training as an engineer, Stevenson's response was to boldly imagine building a lighthouse that others had dismissed as being impossible. And he had the determination to see that it was built. The trustees of the lighthouse board were probably good men who would have liked to approve Stevenson's plan when he first presented it, but they also had to be good stewards of the money and resources available to them. However, after the wreck of the HMS York, they knew they had to act. They got the advice of another engineer, John Rennie. Making the project happen took courage, hard work, and compromise. As we saw in the video clips, work on the lighthouse was dangerous. Two men died. Because they were running out of time, and presumably money, Stevenson and his men had to compromise their religious principles and work on Sunday, work on the Sabbath. Now, it's not so long ago that that would have been a real problem for Methodists in New Zealand. And I remember my mother telling me that her father, who was a Methodist minister, had some very firm views on what was acceptable activities on a Sunday and what was not. Stevenson also had to show the humility to accept Rennie's modifications to his design for the curve at the bottom of the lighthouse. That really must have tested his professional pride. But he didn't get in a huff and walk away from the project. So what might this story say to us today? The Bible tells us about God's enduring love for the world and its people. Stevenson and Rennie, between them, designed a tower with a strong base that fitted the location. It's lasted for 200 years so far. I can just about get to grips with that period. It's about 8 generations. But God's love is forever. And it's hard to get to grips with an idea that big. As we heard in the reading from Luke, we can either choose to build on this solid rock and face life's challenges from a firm foundation, or we can ignore it and be swept away. We have the example of Jesus' life, teachings and actions to guide and inspire us. Like the Bell Rock Lighthouse, God's love for us shines through the light of Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we're called to spread that light in the world through our worship, through the good works we're involved in, and in our daily lives. Like the girl and the others who helped this morning building the tower, we need to work together and be imaginative. We're challenged to faithfully spread Christ's light and the good news of God's love for us. Our minister Motukiai is challenging us and other congregations here to find ways to work more closely and effectively together. At Cafe Church a few weeks ago, Deanna Rimmer from Christians Against Poverty challenged us to get involved with helping families in our community to get out of debt and become Christians. She said, "There is always a way. There is always a way." David Hanna and his team at Wesley Community Action need our prayers and support. DCM, Downtown Community Ministry, which Wesley helped to found, needs our prayers and support too. Last Sunday, Fellow Nico said, "What we give, God multiplies." What's our lighthouse project for 2017?